pound of S-CHIP. What is it and where does it come from? It's the state children's health insurance program. It was enacted in 1997 on a bipartisan vote, co-sponsored at the time by Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, a conservative Republican, and Senator Ted Kennedy, a very liberal Democrat from Massachusetts. Over the past 10 years, it has had remarkable growth and has served a very large number of children. The target population for S-CHIP when it was enacted were children up to age 18 with household incomes up to 200% of the poverty level. It was designed to fill in the gaps that Medicaid did not meet. That is, we knew there were millions of uninsured children in the United States who were not eligible for the Medicaid program, and yet whose incomes, whose family incomes were low because they were in working families that did not earn enough to buy health insurance, even for their children, on their own. Children eligible also had to be legal and permanent residents, and not on this slide is a point that states had to take steps to prevent what's called crowd out. Crowd out is basically a concern of some economists and conservative policymakers that public programs may displace private insurance so that it may in fact encourage employers with who have low-income workers or low-income workers themselves to abandon their private health insurance obtained through employment or obtained in the private market and instead enroll in government-run, taxpayer-financed health insurance programs. We could talk about the legitimacy of that perspective later. States were allowed to vary their programs from one another. They could either expand their Medicaid program, building it up with S-CHIP funding, or they could create a separate program, or they could do a combination of the two. 15 states also got waivers to set their eligibility limits for their S-CHIP program above the 200% level. States were also allowed to simplify, or if they wanted, complicate the application procedure and eligibility. And I will say that this was taken as an opportunity and a mandate by states across the country to really simplify eligibility and application for these programs. I don't know how many of you have seen Medicaid applications pre-S-CHIP, but these are very complex forms that are basically designed by welfare departments, designed to stigmatize people who would fill them out and submit them and make it difficult for families to enroll their kids. With S-CHIP, the attitude began to change quite dramatically, and we have seen steps to simplify and make more welcoming these kinds of programs. A number of states did end up at the lower level of eligibility. It was up to states to set that level. You can see that Alaska set its level in a single expansion of their Medicaid program at 175% of the poverty level. But North Dakota instituted an S-CHIP program, which actually was above the Medicaid program, and it was only at a level of 140% of the poverty level. Next slide. Okay. A number of states went the other direction, of course. At the bottom, you can see four states that increased their eligibility levels up to 250% of the poverty level, most of them through a combination of separate S-CHIP program and a Medicaid program. Minnesota set theirs at 275%, except for infants, at 280%. California set it at 250%, as did some of the others there. But even some states went above that, as high as 300% of the poverty level. You can see the states that did this. This is the group that I would mention has raised some of the crowd out concerns, because economists would say, well, these are families that actually are beginning to have income that could buy them private insurance or could buy them into their employer plan. But we may be moving them out of those options into public programs because of providing them with this alternative. The evidence is, however, that employment-based health insurance coverage rates for adults and for children in this income group and below have been declining, and they've been declining for about 5 years, and that we see that decline for spouses who formerly got covered through their husband or wife's health insurance plan, and we see it for their children. But it's only the children who have had the safety net of SCHIP, and that pattern suggests that there is not a crowd-out factor that has significantly affected enrollment in these programs. Next slide, please. This one, I'd like to show you what one state, my state, California, has done with respect to eligibility and how complex these programs are. Despite efforts to simplify, in most states, it is very complex. In California, for example, if you are a pregnant woman with an income between 200% and 250% of the poverty level, you would be eligible for a separate program run by California called the AIM program, for which it got no federal matching funds. But you might have an infant under the age of one or around that. Maybe you're not. Well, if you just had an infant as a woman, you could also stay in the AIM program for a year. But your infant could also stay in it, and you basically could have your child covered through the Medi-Cal program as while you're in another one. However, maybe you have a child who's 2 years old, and that child would be eligible for the Healthy Families program, but not for Medicaid. And if you have a child who is 19 living at home, that child would be eligible for nothing at all. And your husband, of course, might be uncovered completely. So these programs are fragmentary and very challenging to work with them, but many people do. Moving on, a number of states have enacted some parent expansions. About 11 states have done that. But let me turn now to the reauthorization issues, because that's the situation that we're facing today. The SCHIP program, enacted in 1997, was authorized for 5 years with an appropriated or a budgeted amount for that time period that was to be distributed across the states. Unlike the Medicaid program, SCHIP is not an open-ended entitlement. It is a block grant, and states get an allocation based on a formula, and if they do not use that allocation, the federal government retains some of that funding. If they go over that allocation, then it's simply too bad for them, and either they have to cut kids from the program or come up with their own state money. In 2002, SCHIP was reauthorized for another 5 years, quite successfully. Now it's up for its final reauthorization, having completed the 10 years of its two authorized periods. And so we need reauthorization legislation. There were competing bills in the House and the Senate, but President Bush was adamantly opposed to both of them. Next. This gives you a brief summary of the high points of the two different bills, the Senate bill on the left and the House bill on the right. The House bill was the more generous one. It ultimately died in committee. The Senate bill actually being more modest, covering only 4 million currently uninsured children instead of 5 million, as the House bill would have done, and limiting the total increase in enrollment to about 6 million, would cover children up to 300% of the poverty level, no new parent waivers, no new opportunities for states to cover parents of children through the program, and it would increase spending by $35 billion over the current level over a five-year period, financed by a tobacco tax increase. That bill, which the White House adamantly opposed, even though it was more modest than the House bill, did pass the Senate. When it went to the House, it then was inserted into another House bill in order to be processed through the House, and ultimately that House bill, which had a number H.R. 976, was the one that passed the House and the Senate, went to the President. So, next slide. That bill, which was approved by the Congress on September 27th, was vetoed by the President on October 3rd, and went back to the Congress for a possible veto override. There were enough votes in the Senate in order to pass this over the President's veto. The bill in the Senate had gotten 68 votes and needed only 67. But in the House, it had fallen short. It got 273 votes instead of the 286 that it needed. We are at a point now where the veto override failed. There was an inability to get enough Republicans to join the Democrats and Republicans who had voted for it the first time round, and so the bill failed, and there were negotiations which are continuing. SCHIP was temporarily funded through November 17th, and we can go to the next slide as well, past this one, which I've already talked about. President Bush has made it clear, if we can turn to his, we'll turn momentarily to his position on it. He proposed a mere $5 billion expansion of funding for SCHIP in its renewal. That's too little money to sustain even the kids currently enrolled in the program. And I'll show you how that would work in California in a moment. He argued that we should be refocusing the program on children below 200% of the poverty level, implying that states above that level, and now there were many states above that level, would either need to cut their programs or find some other money of their own to pay for them. He vetoed the Reauthorization Act on October 3rd, and in his veto message he said that it would increase SCHIP such that families of four making $83,000 a year might be covered through SCHIP. There is no program that covers that children at $83,000 a year. This is a fictitious number that was used to try to disparage the bill. And he argued again for refocusing the program. He argued that expansion would, and this is the crowd out argument I talked about, that expansion would displace children who were previously insured through private coverage and push them into government coverage instead, which he said would move health care in this country in the wrong direction. He said that ultimately this is a plan of people who want to move all of our health coverage into a government program. He must have in mind some single-payer advocates who are a strong voice at APHA, but otherwise not a powerful voice right now in the Congress or in the political dialogue. And he said our goal should be to move children who have no health insurance to private coverage, not to move children who already have private insurance to government coverage. I do want to note that in nearly all of the SCHIP programs around the country, SCHIP coverage is private health insurance coverage, because in most of the states, SCHIP contracts with private health insurance plans to provide the coverage to the children who are eligible. And in his radio address on October 6th, he now has said he would support slightly increased funding for SCHIP in the provide some reactions from other members of Congress, including Orrin Hatch, who strongly disagreed with the White House on this issue totally distances himself from the White House and his Republican colleagues in the Congress as well. Senator Grassley made similar comments. House Speaker Pelosi was also very strong on this issue. Let's move to the next one. And note that negotiations are currently underway between Republicans and Democrats. HHS Secretary Leavitt has now said that we can move past this at this point. HHS Secretary Leavitt has stated that the administration is actually willing to increase their appropriation up to $20 billion, but Bush has been unclear about that. He has said he would oppose any tobacco tax funding, which leaves unclear the question of where the funds would come from if we were able to do that. And if you want to move to the very final slide, this one might show here. Oh, this shows the number of states that would actually lose money if we do not expand the program above its current level. If we adopted President Bush's original proposal, 21 states would run out of money by the middle of 2008 under current allocation. 9 states would run out of money by March. And this graph from the New York Times shows that result. And I think we could actually end there.